This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah wa ala ala sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our class of Akhlaq. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss the theories of morality. We will have several theories of morality, and the objective of these theories is to understand the meaning of the akhlaq, not necessarily from an Islamic perspective, but rather from the other people's views. What do they think of morals? And then we will compare between what they have and what Islam has provided mankind. So we have, before we move to the theories, we have the definition of akhlaq. Now, when we say we're talking about akhlaq, what's the meaning of akhlaq? What do we mean by akhlaq? We mentioned in the previous class that akhlaq is not only something you do with others. It's actually something even you do to yourself. So here is a definition for the akhlaq, which says morality is assumed to be a quality of actions or dealings. Dealings with oneself, with others, with animate beings, and with inanimate objects. So morality includes all these things. It deals with yourself, with others, with animate beings, and with inanimate objects. So basically with everything around you. That's morality. The quality of actions with everything surrounding you. Now, we will have three major types of ethical theory that aim at defining morality. Each type has many variants. That does not mean these are the only theories, because there are many other theories, but these are the most famous ones. And you may ask why we are even discussing these theories if they are from non-Muslims. The reason behind that, to understand what people think of morality. And then we will compare between what they say and what Islam says about morality. It's not enough. Now, as I told you, the problem is we don't relate to the people sometimes. We need to relate to them, to tell them that this is what you believe, but that's what we have in Islam. If you don't know what they believe in, then you may not be able to help them to know the greatness of what Islam provided for mankind. We will start with the first theory, which is called consequentialism. What do we mean by consequentialism? It says the morality of an action is based on the consequences of the action. So in order for us to judge the act, if it's moral or immoral, we need to see the consequences of this action. And it's called utilitarianism. And it's referred to the British philosopher John Stuart Mill. What does it say, basically? That's what it says. An act is moral or morally good if and only if it maximizes the happiness for the largest number of people. So as long as this act pleases the maximum number of people, then it is accepted, and this act is moral. Notice here that they are saying the largest number of people. So they are not talking about the individuals. They are talking about the group. They look for the welfare of the group, not only individuals. So it sounds a good theory. So again, it says an act is moral or morally good if and only if it maximizes the happiness for the largest number of group. Utilitarianism, that's the name of this theory, the consequentialism. This is the first theory. The second type, or the second theory, it's called the deontic ethics. And it says morality is based on principles. it's like the opposite of the first theory. The first theory, it says we wait until we see the consequences of the action. Here it says regardless of the consequences, even if there are no consequences, it's the principles. It is the principles. So the morality is based on principles. And they refer to the German philosopher, Immanuel Kant. He's the famous one who founded this theory. What does he say? He says an act is immoral or morally bad if and only if it cannot be universalized as a law of nature. So here, it doesn't say the largest number of people. It's not enough for the largest number. It has to be universalized for all people, not only the largest number of people. You see the difference between the first one and the second one? The first one, as long as it maximizes the happiness for the largest number of people, then it is moral. Here, unless it's universalized, it's not moral. It's not moral. So that's the difference between the first and the second one. And we'll go back to them, inshallah. Now we move to the third type, which is the virtue ethics, or the character ethic. Here, what do we have? It says morality is based on the human character. Morality is not based on the principles, nor the consequences, but rather it's based on the human character. And the founder for this theory is Aristotle, the Greek philosopher who died in the year 322 before Christ. What does he say, Aristotle? He says, an act is moral or morally good if and only if it contributes to one's virtuous character. If it contributes to your virtuous character, then this act is moral. But we have a problem here, because what do we mean by the virtuous character? Everybody thinks of himself that he has a virtuous character. Even the criminal, to him, whatever helps him perfecting his crime is virtuous. So how do we define the virtue? This theory explained what's meant by virtuous character. It says, virtue is the mean between two extremes, such as bravery and cowardice and rashness. We have bravery. Bravery is the mean between cowardice and rashness, and is best learned by following the example of a virtuous person. So it's not only to know the mean between two things, but rather you need to follow also a virtuous person. Now, who's the virtuous person? Because to some people, devil is virtuous person, they follow. He meant by virtuous person, a person sent by God, like a prophet. So, again, this is the third and the last theory. An act is moral or morally good if and only if it contributes to the one's virtuous character. So we don't look to the principles, we don't look to the consequences, we look to the virtuous character. Does it contribute? Is it good for yourself? Does it increase, as we say in Islam, tazkiyah? Does it do tazkiyah? How do we know it does or it doesn't? If it's the mean between two extremes, then it does. How do you know? Or who do you follow? It says you follow the virtuous person. Now let's go back to the first theory. We want to analyze this theory. What does it say? It says if it maximizes the happiness of the largest number of group, then it is accepted. What do you think of this theory? Is it accepted by Islam or not? Does it have grounds in Islam or not? No? Yes or no? What do you think? Now in Islam, can you do an act if it benefits you, but it harms the others? Why? Because you have to look to the group as well, right? So, doesn't it say this the same thing here? Doesn't it say the same thing? An act is moral if it maximizes the largest number, not the small number. What do you think? So, do we care about the smaller, the minority, or we care only about the majority? The majority. So, is it accepted or not? What do you think? I'm asking you. I don't know what you're writing. Are you still writing?
Yeah, it does.
Yes. Yes, in today. So, this is the question. What if the majority accepted at the expense of the minority? So, we don't care about the minority, only the majority. And according to this, people took advantage of this theory. They enslaved other people. They brought black people from Africa. They enslaved them. Why? Because it makes larger number of people pleased. So if we have 20 million people country, and we have 2 million people country, it's okay, according to this theory, it is permissible for the largest country to enslave the smaller country. Why? Because we don't look to the 2 million people, what do you look to? The 20 million people. So again, can we accept this as an ethical theory for morality? No. Why? Which is better, to look for the minority or majority? Now in Islam we have a rule. If you have two evils, you take the lesser evil. How do you know the lesser evil? If it affects few people, and the largest evil is the one that affects larger number of people. Just like if someone wanted to relieve himself, the Prophet ﷺ said, no one is allowed to urinate in the way of people. Why? Because you will harm other people. Now here, in this point, Islam did not look to your own benefit, because you will benefit yourself. You want to answer the call of nature. If you did not do so, what will happen? You may harm yourself. But you cannot do that at the expense of harming other people. So don't you think this is similar, or it's different here? What do we have here in the first theory? It says, it's okay. You please the largest number of people, and you don't care about the smaller number of people. Doesn't that what Islam says? No? What does it say? The majority are usually wrong. Exactly. So we don't always take it this way, that as long as the majority is happy, as long as it pleases the majority, then it's correct. Sometimes the majority are wrong. So can we accept this as a theory of morality? No. What about the second type, the deontic ethics? Okay, fine. We don't have to accept the majority, but as long as we can universalize this act, as long as it pleases everybody, then it is accepted. What do you think of it? How can you please everybody? You cannot? Well, it doesn't say you have to please everybody, but it's universalized. Like a law that everybody accepted or agreed on it. So here it says we look to the principle. We don't look to the consequences. So what do you think of this theory? Is it accepted or not? No? Why? Why? If you say no, you have to say why. If you say yes, also you have to say why. What about the students online? What do they think of this theory? Now in Islam, if you wanted to know something is wrong or right, like stealing, Prophet ﷺ used this analogy. A man came to him and he told him, O Messenger of Allah, allow for me to commit adultery. Prophet ﷺ told him, do you accept it for your mother? The man said, no. Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you accept it for your sister, for your daughter? And the man always said, no. So Prophet ﷺ said, and the same thing for people. They don't accept it for their relatives. So you should not do it. So isn't this similar? What do you think?
What is the law of nature? I mean, who can determine what the law of nature?
What's the law of nature? That's a good question.
He doesn't mention any higher being or something.
So. Yeah.
So, I mean, people are going to argue with what's the law of nature.
Yeah, if everybody accepted that this is a law of nature.
What are they considering nature? Mother nature or nature? Like whatever they call
it. Yeah. The nature is what goes with the flow of people.
It changes from time to time. Right?
Exactly. That's the point here. Yes. This is the problem. What if everybody accepted adultery?
Yeah.
Does that make it permissible? Does that make it moral? No. Even if everybody accepted it. That's the problem with this theory. Yes, you may think, oh, it's better than the first one. But it's not enough. It is not enough. Because what if everybody accepted to steal? Would this happen? Could it happen?
Yeah.
Yes, it happens. And it already happened. At the time of Lut, alayhi salam. What was the crime of Lut, alayhi salam? He purifies himself. That was his problem. أَخْرِجُوا أَلَى لُوتٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ نَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They cleanse themselves. We don't want clean people. We want everybody to be dirty with this sin. So it could happen. They try to do it now. Well, there are many things already done. Whether everybody accepts it or you are out, that does not make it permissible. So even this theory is not enough. Although it may sound good, well, everybody is doing it. Islam tells us, even if everybody do it, you have your own commands. You have your own laws that are ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you follow. So again, the second theory, it's not enough. What about the third theory? What do you think of it? It's based on the character. So as long as it adds to your virtuous character, then it is moral. Otherwise, it's immoral. You have to be in the mean between the two extremes. What do you think of this? Does it have grounds in Islam? Yes. Morals by what? Guidance. Yeah, by guidance. Where do we get this? The guidance? Now again, this is an attempt to understand how people look at morality. Do we have something similar in Islam for this theory? If it contributes to your character, to your virtuous character, then it is moral. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. وَسَطًا, what does it mean? Between, right? The average, the mean, between two extremes. So, don't we have similar thing in Islam? Also here it says that it's best learned by following virtuous person. So what do you think of it?
Closer.
Closer. Why we say closer? Why don't we say it's compatible to Islam? What do you think?
When it talks about two extremes,
yes,
their extremes
might not be
agreeable with everyone.
Exactly. Who determines what are the extremes? Is it the virtuous person Is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the people? According to people, this is extreme and this is extreme. While it may not be the case. That may not be the case. So what do you think? This theory is very close actually to Islam. Because first in Islam, what makes something moral or immoral? If it brings you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is moral. And anything brings you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it adds to your virtuous character. Now how do you know, according to Islam, how do you know this is moral or immoral? By following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. So again in Islam, this theory is very close. It is very close to what we believe. So, if I asked you how to establish the Islamic theory then, having this been said, like these three theories, let's say we don't want the consequentialism, we don't want the deontic ethics, we don't want the virtuous character. We want the Islamic theory. What do you say? People, they know only these three theories, and you came to them and you told them, I have additional theory. Can we combine these three together to form Islamic theory, or we have to add something more, or we take something out? What do you think? Islamic theory is established by the Creator Himself. So, what do you say in this theory? Let's take a look. I will help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us in the Quran that righteousness is not to face east or west. Some people think that the more you add or you increase your ibadah, that's what you should do and that's enough between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah reminded us that this is good, but it's not enough. Yes, you have to face the Qibla, you have to pray. But Allah reminded us, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبُ لَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. You have to believe in Allah, the Day of Judgment. You have to establish prayer, give zakah, be dutiful to the neighbors, the parents, and all these things are required. They are necessary. It's not enough only. Righteousness is not to face east or west. Another example. The divine narrative from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Adam, maridtu falam ta'udni. O son of Adam, I was sick and you did not visit me. The man would say, oh my Lord, how would I visit you? And you're the Lord of the creation. Allah would say, didn't you know that my servant so-and-so was sick? Didn't you know that if you visited him, you would have found the reward with me? Do you find this in any worldly law? Now, why people visit sick people? They say it's ethical, right? But in Islam, it's required. It's the right of the Muslim upon the brother, upon his brother. حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلْمُسْلِمِ خَمْسِ. One of it is to visit the sick. But you'll never find it in any worldly system. Another example in Islam. He doesn't believe he who sleeps full while his neighbor is hungry and he knows that he is hungry. This is another thing. Now, in our time, let's say you have 10 neighbors and you never talk to any one of them. You never talk to any one of them for 10 years. Would the police come or the FBI or any law enforcement come and force you to talk to your neighbors? Yes or no? No. Why? You're free. Islam tells you no. it's your neighbor. So you have to establish some kind of relationship with him. You don't even achieve perfect iman if you are sleeping full while your neighbor is hungry, and you know that he's hungry. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah in Sahih Muslim, he said, this hadith does not pertain to Muslims only. So even if your neighbor is not Muslim, this hadith still applies. See how Islam is great. Even with everything, with even the animals. Even with the animals. When you slaughter the animal, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُ الْقِتْلَ. Look at people nowadays. They don't even care. All what they care about is consumption, production. They want to produce more chicken, more cows. They don't care about the cows, even the milk. Just read online or go to any farm and see how they milk the cow. It's horrible. Because all what they care about is the milk. They don't care about the health of the cow. The same thing for the meat, for the chicken. So in Islam, that's not the case. You have to care about the animals. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكَ فِي كُلِّ كَبِدٍ رَطْبَةٍ أَجْرٍ. Any living creature, you'll get reward for being good to it. Be it the bird. Actually, the Messenger ﷺ cursed the one who takes the living animals as objects to exercise. Like you throw the stones on the birds just for fun, or you kill them just for fun. The Prophet ﷺ cursed the one who does that. You tie the bird and you start practicing, shooting. Yeah. So forget about all these organizations about animal rights. We have in Islam, we have all these rights guaranteed. So that's what Islam tells us. Also, another important thing in Islam, what if everybody doing something wrong? Is it justified to do it as long as everybody is doing it? No. Islam says, لا يكن أحدكم إمع. Do not be flunky. Do not do like others doing just because they are doing it. لا يكن أحدكم إمع. If people do good, you do good. If people do bad, you do the same. No. You have to do what you're supposed to do, regardless of the people. So in the light of all these evidences, hadith and ayat, how can you establish a good theory of morality in Islam? What do you say? If you're asked to talk for 5 minutes, or you have 5 lines to establish theory of morality in Islam, what do you say? That will be your job. I want this by the next week, inshallah. Write in your own words the theory of morality in Islam. I want 5 lines. I don't want you to write essay or long paper, just only 5 lines. You're asked this question always. Don't people ask you, you are a Muslim, what does Islam stand for? What's it all about? So what do you say? What are the morals of Islam? Monday. Any question? With this, inshallah, we will end it. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وصحبه أجمعين.